Lime, duh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wah, wah, wah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Woo. Woo. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, a podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dan Black, a.k.a. Donsky Blackamora, a.k.a. Donnie Wrestling. Donnie Wrestling. Newman can't clap because he's holding a cat, a.k.a. Donnie Capri, from the time I went to Italy. Okay. coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby, gabba, gabba, wee.
Gabba, gabba, wee.
Yeah, gabba, gabba, yeah, wee. Yeah, yeah, gabba, yeah. Gabba, this girl, gabba, she's mine. And damn, she's fine. What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, spicy, muy caliente wrestling reactions. Woo! Hey, look, before we get into it, let you know that the cash-ins are back. You can get your opinion on this show. You just leave us a voicemail at 316-530-2429-316. 530-2429. Blow my mind. Gabba.
Gabba,
wee.
Gabba, wee. Gabba, gabba, gay. Gabba, gabba.
Yeah. All right. By the way, if you listen to this podcast every week, you should be supporting this podcast over at Patreon.com. Please, Patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. This pod is grassroots. We appreciate you kicking in. But we're not asking for handouts. We got tons of bonus episodes. Some of them are on the main feed, including, I don't know, my interview with David Arquette. Ever heard of him? Former WCW champion. Check that out from 2 weeks ago. Nick Weiger from the Doughboys, that's on the main app. Plus, every single Friday morning, we do an AEW NXT-centric episode. That'll be coming out Friday morning with Nick Tulo, the Supermark. That's over on the Patreon. Plus, basically Monday night, Tuesday morning, exception of pay-per-view weeks, where it comes out later in the week, we have the Cal Movie Club, where we watch movies with pro wrestlers in them. And this week, we watched an absolute piece of shit movie called River of Darkness. It's on Amazon Prime. All the movies we choose, by the way, are on major streaming services, so you don't have to shell out extra cash. Your cash could just go to the Patreon. And we watched this movie, River of Darkness, starring Kurt Angle, Kevin Nash, Psycho Sid, and Glacier. you guys,
I wouldn't want to watch those guys wrestle, let alone be in a movie.
Oh man, check that out. Also, check out my other podcast if you're a news junkie like I am. Check out the Dan Black Attack podcast. Dan Black Attack podcast. We're talking about the news on the regular guy news. We break down this week. We talk a lot about climate change. Not in a pretentious way. Just like, you know, what the is it? Like, my question was, is it too late? Like, does it really help if I don't drink out of plastic, you know? And check it out. The answer is actually yes, which was cool. It's not too late, and there's things we could do. And actually, we don't really know if it's too late, but it's not too late to try. All right, check that out on Dan Black Attack Podcast. Anyway, you can hear I'm rushing. I'm going fast today. It's because, he's here. Let me introduce the nasty one. It's me, one-on-one, kicking it old school with the nasty one. He's a nasty, nasty boy, representing the Flyers, if you see this on the Zoom call, Nasty Neumannhagen.
This is my how about it island. And when you have this much power, you just show up, how about it, and leave.
Show up. And he signed off that Newman is gone. but if you hear that I'm rushing this episode, it's because I got a lot to talk about. And we're only going to be covering on this podcast main roster, Raw, SmackDown, Wrestling. All AEW, NXT-centric talk will be on the bonus episode on Friday.
Oh, what flavor?
Lime, duh. I mean, a little lime. The Croy never hurt. No, boy. We're going to be doing that, but because fucking Christ, man, I was saying it to Newman before we started, Raw and SmackDown this week were both killer. I think this episode, I'm going to name this episode Return of the Main Roster. listen, I'll be honest. I don't think this is any kind of anything to be ashamed of. There are segments that I fast forward on wrestling or matches I don't care about. I fast forward, especially with the quantity of wrestling I watched this week. Raw and SmackDown this week, first off, I couldn't fast forward if I wanted to. Every segment had stakes, felt like it mattered. Plus, the show is corrected. The shows have corrected my major notes for it over the past few months. Sometimes I feel like I'm yelling into a vacuum of, like, why do I care so much about pro wrestling? Why do I expect so much from it? But I always think in the back of my mind that, like, this show could be way better. It can rival other TV shows. And I feel like this week it did that for me. I felt like this Raw and SmackDown this week were on the level of other programs I watch. That's how I felt. They have addressed directly the structural issues by adding Adam Pearce, so there is a voice of the corporate office. So if you have groups like Retribution and even wrestlers calling out management, you have that. If you have Shane running Underground, well, you need something normal. You need a normal structure for that to actually be a rebel force, you know? And so, cool, we're seeing someone from the office stepping in some kind of GM style role. That helps. They're talking about money. They're giving these wrestlers motivation. They're treating it like they work for WWE. That's their job. And they're getting paid. I'm just rattling this stuff off. We could break it down even more. But, like, they keep constantly mentioning, like, Ziggler was announcing and he was saying, oh, Cedric Alexander was like, hey, I come to this job and I'm losing. How do I go back to my family when I'm losing? And you're like, oh, that makes sense why he would join the Hurt Business. We have stables, yeah, like the Hurt Business, which have structure. They have someone at the top of it. His motivation, clearly money. Money has to be a major motivation in wrestling. I say it every time. It has to be, because that's why they do this. That's why they would fight, right? You know, they're mm-hmm. not fighting for their health.
Some, like, Joseph Campbell fucking, like, heroes, like, quest to, like, be some honorable person, or, you know, it has to be money.
And they have to all be fighting for money as the base reality, so then when somebody is doing that, someone right. is fighting for something more than money. Like Stone Cold is fighting against the establishment. In kayfabe, Stone Cold wasn't getting paid when he would right. show up, and he was fired. He would show up and beat up McMahon. So in kayfabe, he wasn't even an employee of this company. He was breaking in. You know, if you don't know what the employment status is of these guys, right? You don't have any base reality. You can't rebel. You can't, right? So now right. that wrestling is these shows, and you can tell, all it is they're starting to care more. They're putting effort in, you know. But every wrestler, I feel like all the wrestlers have, like, even non-title picture stuff felt like you cared about it. And we'll get more into the specifics here, but I just wanted to give it all this overall, like, very exciting. I expect more people to listen to this episode. I expect more people to be getting back into wrestling because of the buzz of stuff that happened here. Not to mention, there was some sloppy stuff. We'll talk about that Mickey mm-hmm. James finish. But, like, even a moment where, like, Sarah Schneider, I think that's her name, the announcer, right? She's the woman who's, like, the old Renee role mm-hmm. or whatever. Her question to Kevin Owens was, why does Aleister Black have a problem with you? And he was like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm fine with that. If you acknowledge that you don't know, right? Like, right. just acknowledging that it's like, we don't know what he's up to means that you care about motivations of wrestlers, that, like, there is some kind of structure backstage where it's like, hey, normally we all just get paid to have matches and we care about our win-loss record. We're trying to be champion because there's more money. But all of a sudden, Aleister Black's acting different, you know?
Right.
And kudos to WWE for, you know, getting back on track. I feel like everyone is shining, and this was the most shit on both shows, Raw and SmackDown, that I've cared about in a long time. So, I don't know. Newman, I said a lot. I'll let you respond to anything I said there. We'll get into all these specifics as we go on.
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of speak to the overall, like, experience now, like, I feel like we're getting spoiled by sort of the quality, right? And I'm, like, always waiting for the other shoe to drop for them just to kind of go back to their old ways. But if you told me last year this time that I would be really into a stable led by MVP with Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander, I probably would have been like, nah, I don't know if I could see that.
Yeah, not to mention, they also have a feud. They also have merch that I feel like is definitely buyable merch.
Right.
And a catchphrase that's cool. Like, I'm in.
Yeah, like not to go too far ahead or anything, but like the minute that I was already on board for Hurt Business, now especially Cedric just works, but when they came down the ramp at the end of Raw with Retribution, I was like, this works.
Yeah,
this fucking works,
dude. It totally works. They established it earlier in the show. It was a fluid, sensical show. Not to mention, every single week, if you ran this podcast, you would see how you start seeing the skeleton of these Raw SmackDown shows, because I actually take notes, you know what I mean?
Right.
So week to week, I'm able to just be like, all right, here's a segment, and they're all in a vacuum. A segment, these guys worked on it, they probably shot it, they left the building. And this week, both Raw and SmackDown, you're like, no, they're thinking about the overall program and how the characters fit in. So there was a lot of crossover talent into segments coming back. And it was like, oh, it's hard to even know where to begin. Like, a lot of my notes here, it's like, this paragraph actually could be combined with this other paragraph. And, that's nice storytelling. We shouldn't be ahead of it. Like, I didn't expect Zelina to pop out at the end of that Asuka match, right?
Right.
You're like, oh, I didn't even think of Zelina as a wrestler. You're like, oh, that's great. They got ahead of me, you know? That you want to be worked. You want them to be ahead of you, you know? And to wrestling's defense, and to their credit, their fan base is always trying to get ahead of it, you know, even more than other shows in a way. Like, there's this smarky pride in being ahead of it, saying what they could have done better in a way that is very unique to wrestling. So it's hard to trick the wrestling fans. And I think that they did a really nice job here, thinking ahead. And that's awesome. I thought it was really interesting because I thought Raw started when Drew came out, I was like, oh, this is whatever. He asked for an ambulance match. I was like, oh, it's fine. It felt very formulaic. And then the show just picked up and it was a good time. So, I mean, we can get into the specifics, but I'm glad you feel the same way.
Yeah, it's rocking and rolling, man.
Tulo was texting me being like, this shit rocks. But Tulo can be a huge mark. We call him the super mark for a reason. And he's always looking for the bright side. He, he's a positive. He's Donnie positive or whatever. You know what I mean? I'm trying to be Donnie honest or whatever. And so sometimes he texts it's good. And then it sucks because then I think it sucked. And I got to come on here and completely negate his positive text, which never feels good. You know, I don't like to be the guy. I hate being the guy. How do you feel about when you leave a movie and you're the guy who's that movie sucks when everyone liked it?
I love being that guy.
See, I used to like being that guy. Now I just keep my mouth shut, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm kind of joking. I said this before. I think I said it in a text to you. Pretty much ignore everyone's negative opinion on something because I don't think anybody can ever have a pure opinion that's negative. Mm-hmm. It's sort of always being colored by how you personally feel about something that's probably unrelated to what you're watching or experiencing. So I do love to be negative, don't get me wrong, but
all right, well, I knew that. Okay, so let's get again, I don't know where to start here. I expect us to jump all around, but before we do, I am gonna get into a cash in here from a long time Patroniac, Emily Scott. So let's hear it.
Hey, this is Emily Scott, and I'm calling with a question/discussion topic about what else merch. And the question is, if one of your top guys gets new merch, a new shirt through their wrestling company, and maybe you're not crazy about it, the design's a little lazy, what have you, do you get it? Is this something that you buy preferably when it's on sale? I'm facing this right now with the new Shayna Baszler shirt, and I want to support her and make sure Vince knows that she is selling merch so she continues to get on TV, but I'm not crazy about the design. It's actually a reusing of a design from a KO shirt earlier this year, so I'm torn. Anyway, thanks for your thoughts, and cheers up.
Cheers up. You know what? I almost forgot about the cheers up. I got to say, by the way, since the cash-ins are coming back, That's how you do it, people. Right. That was under a minute, had a very specific question, cited a specific example. Actually was seeking guidance at a point, not just rambling. Emily, fantastic job. And a fantastic question that I think that I deal with a lot. So, okay, in general, if and this podcast is very pro-merch, if you're new to this podcast, like, we love buying wrestlers merch. I love collecting merch. I think merch is dope. Here's the deal. A couple rules. One thing is, if you like a shirt and you're not buying it, right? This is separate from just if a wrestler's one of your guys. This is just if you like a shirt. I find, give it a little time, you know what I mean? Sit on it for a little bit, then come back. Give it a week, and then come back and look at it, right? And then if you still are like, this shirt is fire, buy it, because you will regret not owning it. Like, the amount of wrestling shirts I regret not owning and the amount of wrestling shirts that I buy now for way more that I should have, I should have bought that shirt, and the amount of wrestling shirts that, if you're a long-term fan like us, if you listen to this pod, you're probably in for the long haul. The amount of shirts that I still look for that I can't find is it's a lot of shirts. Like, I really like the, this Ed shirt where it's the star, it's a black shirt with the star and the two flap mud flap girls like on the side, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the one he wore, like, it iconically, and I can't find it. And then sometimes they'll reprint it, but, like, they do something different with the print, and you don't want it. And that one I can't find. I've only found it in, like, an extra-large tank top on eBay once. And I'm like, man, I should have bought it because when I wanted it. So that's what I say. If you think you're going to have regret for buying a shirt, for me, I do have that. I'm a consumerist in that way. Now, Newman, as it pertains to being a wrestler as one of your guys, you want to support them. We know that they get a certain percentage of shirts. Most of it goes to Vince, I bet, right?
Right.
But we know that, like, if you're selling merch, you're selling merch, you're more likely to get a push. Like, there's no Fiend. The amount of merch Fiend was selling got him a huge push in wrestling. So there is a reality that is pushing. It is pushing. But if you that it helps your wrestler. But man, if the shirt sucks, do you buy it just to support your wrestler? I think, I don't know, Newman, I'll throw it to you.
No, I don't. If I don't like the shirt and I'm not going to wear it, like, I'm not going to waste my money on it. Like, I don't feel obligated to support the wrestlers that way. However, on the flip side, if a shirt is cool, even if they're not one of my guys, I'm way more inclined to buy it. Like, I don't know anything about Abaddon, other than she looks cool, and they have a shirt for her that is,
it's just her
fire
face.
And I'm probably going to buy it just because it fits another kind of rubric that I have for wrestling shirts, where it's like, does this look like a wrestling shirt? Can it pass as something else? Can I wear this places and have it not be, you know, immediately identified as, like, have a big AEW thing on it, you know? So I'm more in the camp of, like, if you like a shirt, buy it. It doesn't matter if it's one of your guys or not.
Nice. Interesting. That's a good take. It's more about the shirt. I have that also, 'cause, like, Moxley's not one of my guys, but I love that shirt. That's just, you know, I love spray paint on a title. Like, that's what we have. Cow merch is exactly that. I love the homage to NWO. So, like, I love that the AEW, when it's Mox spray painted on the AEW title and it's huge print. And I'm like, I want to buy it. That's a shirt I'm always, like, one click away from buying, because I think it would be cool in long sleeve for some reason, you know?
Yeah.
But that's not it. So if a shirt is cool, then get it. But you're saying no. Yeah, I agree with you. The thing is, this is like, you know, I don't know what their process is, so I feel for these wrestlers. But if a shirt sucks, I tend to not buy it because I know I won't wear it. It's a mistake I've made. Like, I buy a shirt I'm not excited about. If you're not excited about it when you click purchase, think about how unexcited you're going to be about it later. So I think only buy merch that you think is dope. I think that's the bottom line.
Yeah, and in a weird way, too, like, I think I would be more inclined to buy a Shayna, because Shayna is one of my guys. I'm not going to buy that shirt. I would be more inclined to buy a shirt of hers, though, even if I didn't quite like the design, if it had her on the front or her name on the front of it, rather than just like a slogan that she doesn't even really use, right. That doesn't say like, this is a shit. Cause like, I think if you want to support a wrestler, one of the great ways is to get people to ask like, oh, who's Shayna Baszler? What is this shirt? Right. I see the name. I see the face. I don't know who this is. And you can tell them about that wrestler. Like, yeah. I have a Naomi shirt. Naomi's one of my guys, but I have a shirt. It's her name fucking six times. Right. And people have non-wrestling fans be like, oh, it's a cool shirt. Who is that? And then I get to tell them about Naomi.
Oh, that way. And then that says Glow, right? It says Naomi, like a bunch of that. But the colors are really cool on that shirt.
Right, right, right.
It
starts the conversation with non-wrestling fans about, who is this? And then I show them a clip, and they go, oh, that's really cool. I didn't realize this kind of stuff was... So it's like, you can support it in a different way. You don't have to be like, oh, paying alms to the fucking... to the McMahons to support the wrestler.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And that Shayna Baszler shirt is beyond lazy. It is exactly the Kevin Owens shirt. Right. Shayna Baszler needs a shirt that has print of a cage and then her eyes with the smoky black eyes around it through the cage. And then it's just like Shayna or something, or you're done or something. Right?
You will not survive. Right,
like that. Or her hands like that. Or something, but like you need the cage. She's like the cage, right? So, we literally just spitball that right now. So, unfortunately, Shayna is the victim of poor shirt design, which WWE should never have. Like, they have all the resources to make most of their shirts fire, you know?
Right.
Anyway, all right. So, just for time, we're moving on. Great question, Emily. I think the consensus for both of us is don't buy that shirt specifically, and don't buy a shirt you're not into in general. There's no reason to waste money because there's so much wrestling merch comes out. I think today I'm going to buy this Randy Orton hoodie, the one that says greatest wrestler of all time, the best wrestler of all time or whatever, and it has just a snake flowing through it, and then RKO in the front.
I just want to point out, too, that, like...
Yeah. I love trash merch, though. You know that.
Right, yeah. You have a radar... Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm saying I have a bedazzled Rated R Superstar shirt. You like shirts that are like you think you'd pass as non-wrestling. I like shirts where it says like this guy's trash and he's a mark. I like being shameless with my wrestling merch. Right. NASCAR shameless. Yeah.
I was gonna say it's such a if anybody had any questions about whether or not Randy Orton was born and bred in the WWE universe, he felt it was like worth teasing in such a way the release of his own t-shirt line as though he was gonna like announce the name of his like fifth kid or something. Like it was like, oh, okay, do you have
he basically did a slither a gender reveal for the slither.
Right.
Yeah, man, there's so much to talk about this week, but yes, Randy Orton, which I'll make sure we talk about this again next week when Aaron is here, but or on a bonus app. But actually, we did talk about it on one of the bonus episodes, but yeah, Randy Orton, I'm already signed up for the mailing list for Slither, spelled S-L-T-H-R?
R, no vowels.
I think it's no vowels, right? Yeah, it's no vowels, right. It's no vowels, it's his clothing line, there's one shirt, it's him, he's posing, and he's wearing his fucking trunks, you know? And he's wearing the Slither shirt. I'm going to buy all this shit. Because what I love about Randy Orton having a clothing line is that, like, you know, Rock has, like, Project Rock shit. That's so safe for me, you know?
Right.
Like, I have some Rock stuff, but, like, Rock stuff you see in the gym, people don't watch wrestling. They're just like, they buy Rock stuff. It's Under Armour or whatever. Like, when you have – if you're wearing Randy Orton Slither athletic gear, like, that is a fucking deep cut. Like, people are – like, that means you're a fucking mark. And if somebody goes like, yo, that's dope that you're wearing that – you know, they're like that is you're talking a language. You know what I mean?
Randy Orton
is exactly what The Rock is if he had no crossover success. Zero. Randy Orton's had more title runs than The Rock. Okay. All right. Anyway, I love it. All right. So where to jump? I think we should start. And we'll jump around, I'm sure. But I think we should start with this Mickie James thing because it was pretty interesting. And that'll lead us to – I already kind of mentioned it. But the ending of Mickie James versus Asuka had a match. And by the way, great lead-up to this match. I mean, the storytelling of this is Mickie's title run, like, really made it feel like this moment mattered a lot to Mickie, you know? It was one time where they didn't use Mickie as just a jobber, you know? And you knew she wasn't going to beat Asuka or anything, but it was like felt like a big match for her, and it was on Raw, you know? So it was giving nice some stakes to Raw. So this match they're wrestling. I liked Mickey's gear. I think she changed up her gear. It's a little cosplay, a little Super Saiyan for me. But yeah, the match just ends. Like, it just abruptly ends. She's in an Oscar lock, I believe, and the bell just rings, but there's no tap. It's super awkward, and you're like, what the hell happened? So I was reading that it's just a mess up by the referee. Like, he thought Mickey was injured, that she injured her shoulder, but she wasn't injured at all, and he just stopped the match. So my take on this thing is, like, I have no problem with this. Let's err on the side of safety for these wrestlers. This is not a big problem happening in wrestling. Like, in UFC, there's early stoppages. It's arguably a problem for these fights' entertainment value. This isn't happening a lot. You know what I mean?
Right.
So anyone who's making a big deal out of this is just looking to yell shit into a microphone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and I'm actually surprised that the ref does have that kind of authority, like, to make a call, which is essentially a medical decision, to stop a match. Like, I thought that even if the wrestler was injured, there'd be a lot of conference between, like, the gorilla and, like, do we call it or what do I do? But for them to be, I didn't realize that they would be able just to be like, I'm calling this regardless.
Well, right. And he might've been in the ear of,
Sammy Guevara.
He might've been in the ear of, Vince might've been like, hey, does she look all right? He might've seen her eyes glaze on the, you know, we don't actually know it, but the ref called it, ended it. It was probably a second before it was going to end anyway, because, and if you watch towards the end of the match was getting very sloppy. And that also made me believe that something was weird. But I also, read that it ended weird before I watched it. So I don't know. Main thing is Zelina, broke up with Andrade and Garza, and which was cool. I didn't even expect her to, like, pop out there at all, which we mentioned. Do you think that – are you excited for Zelina's solo run, and do you think she has any chance going at Asuka, or because she's going for Asuka first, it means she's destined to just get tapped and put back into a Lana-style position, you know?
Yeah. No, I don't think she's there. I don't think they're going to have her beat Asuka. If they do, it would be a big shock, and that might be interesting. But I'm
well, do you
I
plan
don't know.
To do, like, do you think there's any chance they give her kind of what they did for, I was going to say Lance Archer, because I always want to call Damian Priest Lance Archer because of archery, the archer of yesteryear. But, when Damian Priest, remember, he was losing to, like, Finn and stuff, but they kept being like, look how great he's losing. And that actually built him into his championship. Or do you think they let Zelina, like, full job?
My gut reaction is full job. But I just don't know what conversations or what the reason was behind her leaving them, if they really wanted, like, in earnest, give her a push. Her promo was not her best. I was getting very big, like, high school drama class monologue vibes off of off of her. Like, it was very, very performative. But I do like the way that she says everyone and the mother. Like, she had, like, the what's her name, that actress from the 90s, Rosie Perez. Like, she had, like, a very Rosie Perez, like, delivery on some of those lines, which I thought was cool. But no, I don't know. I think they're just gonna job her out. I don't think that it's going to pan out to be much.
I agree.
Happy to be wrong.
But that's a match I'm excited to see. It's cool to see Asuka get something different. It feels like in the women's division, we're seeing a lot of the same over and over.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be cool. And if hopefully they can build it and make her look – I hope they make her look good. That's what I hope. All right, moving on to Retribution. So Retribution had their big, very controlled anarchy. they're the most controlled anarchist group I've ever seen. They only attack at prime TV times. they'll interrupt a match, but they're not interested. They'll let most of the show run smooth. They don't mess around backstage at all. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like they should be doing way more shit, right? They should like they flickered the lights once. They kicked it off by lighting something on fire, and now they just cut, like, promos and have a logo. You know what I mean? Like,
they should be out there, like, trying to, like, get in the way of the camera, like, during other matches, just to, like, disrupt what's going on.
They should be way more of, like, a force for anarchy. But That, like, wouldn't it be cool if Retribution hacked the Thunderdome and, like, every face was like a Guy Fawkes mask, but like a Retribution mask? Or like, yeah. There's way more shit to do that they're a little lazy with that. But that still being said, I'm willing to suspend my disbelief for Retribution and be like, for the anarchy element of it, because it is a TV show, so that's fine. Right. It is pro wrestling, so we don't need to be that nitpicky. But what they did, I thought, was extremely smart this week, where they're like, hey, everybody is either ahead of what's happening or they know it can't be as satisfying. So why don't we just keep them in the masks but essentially reveal who they are anyway so that it's not a reveal? And I was like, that's great, right? Because essentially you know who they are. He said it in the promo. I wrote down the whole promo, but it's not even that. It's very generic. But the only important line here is hold on, I want to find, where do they say, well, whatever. They say, oh, here it goes, here. It goes, when you sell your soul to a corrupt machine, you become corrupt. And like you, whatever, I wrote it wrong. We once believed our time at the Performance Center would lead us to fame and wealth. Unlike you, we refuse to suck up to an entitled regime. So basically, their beef is with wrestlers who are going along. It seems to be their beef with these wrestlers taking orders from WWE. They're all wrestlers who they are wrestlers. They've admitted we're wrestlers, right? We've trained at the Performance Center. So you know these are talent who are upset with their false promises they were given at the Performance Center. This is something this is them work shooting us, being like, right? Like, the amount of wrestlers who have come through WWE and then they didn't get their fair shot, or they're not booked right, or they weren't given, you know, that's good. Why not monetize that? They're basically monetizing, like, the IWC or whatever. Yeah. Good.
Controlled opposition.
Right. And then a bunch more members popped up in the background at the end of the promo being like, oh, you know who these people are? It doesn't matter. There's so many fucking more. And basically they're going to be a group of all fired wrestlers, right?
Yeah. Well, are they fired? Because, I mean, like, Dijakovic is there. Mayhem right. is there. Dio Madden, who, I mean, I just want to go on the record. I could not give less of a fuck about.
Well, I'll give Dio Madden props. The one thing he did that I did think was dope was take an F5 through a table while he was an announcer. Yeah, but and he's huge, but yeah, no, I don't care about him. Yeah, I don't know anything about him. I don't care about him yet. I really don't know anything about him.
I guess my question is like, how then I still don't trust WWE to figure out how to explain the story of, like, these are all, they're all people who are, like, either still training or are in NXT. So it's like, you're just going to NXT and wrestling, but you're like, how do they,
I don't think,
like,
they where, have to, I don't think they the have disconnect? To, if they show you a couple examples and then they all have a story, like, some of them you might not even know. And
right.
But they're like, you'll understand, like, they all have this same point of view. You don't have to really tell them all. Right. And if you think about it, the clarity of this seems a lot even stronger than, like, Dark Order, which is a similar thing. Like, this is already a little clearer to me than Dark Order has been, to be honest. Right. And I'm not saying I like it more or it's great. I think it's the best choice they had for what it is. It's clearly what they're going for. They definitely need, like, a full-on, like, front man for this. It needs to be, like, someone like Bobby Roode, or, like, someone who's, like, been fucking slighted by Vince to helm this thing. Because Dijakovic will not do that. Dio won't do that. So you need, who's a huge – I mean, Punk is the guy, right? Like, right? If it's Punk, you're all going to think it's fucking awesome, right?
Right. Yep.
Like, I mean, it's hard to imagine it'll be Punk because it's been so cheesy until this point, and he is like he is the king of anti WWE cheese. Like, he is fucking, like, just legit does cool good stuff. In right. like, part of what makes CM Punk work is that he calls out the WWE stupid or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, he made The Rock look dumb at times, you know? So,
right?
And, like, just, like, talking about ice cream bars and stuff. So, if he is involved in this, they're paying him like he was not involved at the start. That I know. You know?
Right. And he wouldn't even have to wrestle, I think. Like, if he, you know, if he doesn't want to, like, actually get in the ring, I don't think he would even have to get in the ring to make it work. But I think he's the only one in my mind where this would skirt McMahon's razor and have it actually be, like, a good payoff.
McMahon's razor. By the way, if you haven't listened, can we get it? Actually, Newman, I'm going to take a quick pee break, and you describe what McMahon's razor is. People don't know.
I mean, it's not going to take me as long as it's going to take you.
It's going to be a quick pee. It's one. This is one LaCroix deep.
All right.
All right, go.
All right. So McMahon's razor is based on the principle known as Occam's razor, not to be confused with Occam and Razor, the recently released Authors of Pain, the authors of the book Pain. And in Occam's razor, it posits that the most likely explanation is usually the correct explanation. So McMahon's razor posits that whatever the most interesting decision is, the WWE will make the opposite decision. For instance, Roman Reigns coming back with Paul Heyman seems like it's interesting, but it's very, very much in line with McMahon's razor. Oh, what flavor?
Lime, duh. Back to refuel the pee.
How did you even physically pee in that amount of time?
Because I drink like this unnatural amount of liquids, and so I pee very quickly. There's a lot of pressure.
That seems unhealthy.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I might be dying. Anyway, everybody, coming at you. So Retribution. So here's an example of what I loved about Raw this week. Retribution is become this problem, and now you have Adam Pearce, who's the guy who's like in charge of it. He talks to the security. He's like, "Hey, we got Retribution on the loose. They're a bunch of fucking slighted jobbers running around here with Molotov cocktails." You know what I mean? You have MVP, who's creating this hurt business. It's literally called a business. He had Cedric Alexander join because he was like, "Yo, I want to join here because I want to make money." Right? He's like, I was losing, taking a beating every week, going home with my family, a loser every Monday. Literally, it's funny that they used talking about a job and they're talking about Monday. Like, I got to show up here every Monday because Raw happens to be a Monday, which is the start of the week. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like 7 a.m. Monday night Raw. I put the trunks on. I got to wake up. Anyway, he's in my commute. The coffee's always cold. All right, anyway. But Cedric, MVP's like, yo, here's what this group is. And so he goes to Adam Pearce and he's like, hey, look at my guys, the hurt business. This is what we do. We're in the business of hurt. You want to hire us to help you with this retribution problem? You're like, that's fucking great. He's like, oh, thanks for volunteering. He's like, we're not volunteering. And you're like, oh, they're like mercenaries, the hurt business, you know? And you're like, oh, that's awesome. Now you have that cool storyline where the hurt business are actually going to – Bobby Lashley going to get a hold of one of these pipsqueaks. It's going to be fucking awesome. Take his mask off, and he's going to be some like indie dunce, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Cameron Grimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like fucking Flip Gordon or whatever. I only said Flip Gordon because he had some crazy conspiracy tweet about he was like showed the map of the fires. Did you see that? And he was like,
no, is he back on his US bullshit?
Yeah. He's like, all right, anyway.
Wait a minute. What is he saying? How the fires stop at the border?
He's like, look how the fires stop there? At the north and south border of like Mexico and Canada, you know? And he's like there's no fires? Is that what he's saying?
Or he's saying, yeah.
By the government? No, he said wild. He put wild in quotes to be like, they're not wild.
Right. This is a disease of the mind. This is somebody who interprets everything outside of the realm of their understanding, which is limited in his case, as a conspiracy. It's a disease of the mind. We have to move on because I'm about to start. Hold on. Yeah.
Okay. Well, morons. I think we could just. Actually, we have a sound drop. I was from Flip Gordon. I'm sorry about that. Okay.
Anyway. This is hot garbage.
Okay, so anyway, the Retribution shows up at the end of the show, and you have Keith Lee, who, by the way, I actually thought this Keith Lee's new gear looked great, I thought.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. Very Hart Foundation vibes.
Yeah, actually, it's funny because, listen, McMahon, Vincey Pooh had a nice week, man. He hugging Dominic, telling him he did a great job. He actually, we all shit on him for changing up Keith Lee's gear, but I actually think this gear actually looks, when it matches the black on black, I think it looked better than his gear with no shirt, to be honest. I thought, I was like, you know what? I never thought of a deep cut singlet. I didn't think about that. But he also acknowledged that this other outfit looked like shit, you know?
Yeah, so, I would. I still would prefer that they let them fang stang, but this was a vast improvement on the generic Under Armour sleeveless with his old trunks.
Yeah, I mean, gun to the head, I'd probably say, keep him shirtless. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this did technically probably look better for TV, you know?
Right.
And it does make him. It kind of like when those big straps like that sometimes can make a guy look even bigger. You know, so because it like squeezes the bottom. But anyway, that being said, I feel like it's. I'm just happy they seem to be vested in Keith. His flip over the top rope with Drew is just like that's another thing that like you know when you start talking about AEW versus WWE, it's like well, hey, they got 400-pound guys doing flips.
what right does Keith Lee have to do a fucking front flip over the top rope?
What like do either of these guys have? Like, I mean, being that athletic, it was sick. And Retribution got their, they got their what was coming to them. So that was fun. And now the Hurt Business unleashed on them. Good shit. Excited. Nice storytelling. Nice like cliffhanger. I was excited.
Did you hear?
Yeah.
Did you hear when? So Hurt Business is at the top of the ramp. And I think it was at this point or it was in the ring, but at some point somebody from Retribution kept saying, "We're Retribution." All I kept hearing was, "Oh, we're Retribution. We're Retribution."
Right. Like, well, I mean, here's the other thing is that Retribution, the leader of Retribution, because they keep saying "We are Retribution," which I think is like an NXT red herring or whatever kind of, but like, I don't know if it is because they said Performance Center, but you can go to the Performance Center and not be tied to NXT, you know,
right.
Not really, but in kayfabe you can be, the PC is separate. So is it possible that it is NXT and they just straight up go for it? And then Triple H is the leader of the whole thing, you know?
I mean, that's so likely.
Right. If that's just,
he hasn't been involved in a long time and we're due for a Triple H, like, walk in.
Yeah, we're due for Triple H to insert himself, right?
Yeah.
The only problem with the whole thing is if Triple H comes in, it ruins the Adam Pearce thing because it doesn't ruin it, but like no one gives a shit about Adam Pearce. It needs to be Vince then, and then Vince better be willing to actually play more of a role if NXT invades fully, you know? But if Retribution are just like a bunch of like, you know, anarchists, like Antifa-y or whatever, then you don't need to deal with the top guy or whatever. You know, I mean, every at least week to week. So, well, we'll see where it goes. But I think it's pretty fun. I like that they're pushing. Keith. You know, we read that they are. I don't know why they can't keep anything under wraps. Anyway, let's make sure we talk about. Oh, let's just jump to SmackDown for a little bit, even though there's more shit to talk about on SmackDown, but. Where should we go? Well, let's start with, I think Bayley deserves us to talk about her first. So Bayley cut a promo. We got to hear why she turned on Sasha. Sasha, star of The Mandalorian, is apparently playing a Jedi. There's a shot of her in a hood, which is huge.
Huge.
I guess we don't know how big her role is and whatnot, but I don't know. My instincts tell me that she's not getting a lot of lines.
No.
Right?
No. She's not a good actor. So I can't imagine that, you know, they would give her a fucking monologue or something. It is a good sign though that she's in the trailer. Like her character must be of some import unless it's just like, you know, you go meet him there and then bring him back and then you're not in the show anymore.
Well, that's the thing is that the show is very questy. Right,
yeah.
So this could be just like she's part of this little quest. It was kind of my beef with the show is that I felt like it was a lot of like just do this thing, then do this thing. I wasn't.
It's very much like it's like an RPG.
Yes, it felt like a video game.
Yeah.
But that's why like I'm not surprised Gina Carano's in the show. like Sasha. So I'm not surprised Sasha, because they probably are looking for like women who look strong, you know,
right.
Gina and like Sasha. I mean, imagine lighting Sasha. Like, she's going to look amazing, you know?
Right.
You can make
right.
her abs, like, ripple, you know?
Right.
If you, like, you know, she's a beautiful woman and extremely toned, you know? So she's a very athletic. So she's someone, if you're looking for look alone plus the cachet of that she comes with the wrestling audience, like, she's a win for a role where you don't have to – she doesn't have to say much. But I cannot imagine her nailing a Jedi role. That's like Ewan McGregor territory, you know what I mean? Like, it's like Liam Neeson, like, you know what I mean? Like
Sir Alec Guinness.
Right. So we'll see. I'm excited for that. But
Frank Oz.
The only reason – one of the tops. The only reason I bring that up is to say I saw some chatter on the Facebook group, people being like, why would they – like, it's so dumb that they would make Bailey, Sasha lose when she's going to be a Mandalorian. And I'm not sure if that's how this works. You know, like, I don't think, like – I'm not sure if it works, like, you got to be on top when you debut in something, because people – like, I don't – you know, I think sometimes it is when you have someone like Becky who's like – fully representing the company. I think it's less about the actual title. I think sometimes that's like mark talk and more about how much the company chooses to make you visible in the face of the company, like being on the video game, going on late night talk shows. Like Becky with Full On was like in the commercials, like people I know who are non-marks were like, they know who Becky Lynch is, you know? So it's less, it's more about being on like cereal boxes and less about actual title runs. I don't think people care as much about that. So I wouldn't fuck with the story they're telling here because she's in The Mandalorian, right?
Well, what's the argument that is that because she's going to be on TV for maybe an episode on Disney Plus that she should therefore be getting a push? Or is it that because she isn't getting a push, it's not a good time for her to be on a TV show?
No, it's the first thing. It's the former, that like because she's the like she should be the champ because she's getting more visibility.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
I don't think we need to fuck with wrestling like that. Like cuz here's the thing I posted in the Facebook group that you probably saw, but is I thought Bailey cut a good promo. You know, she was like, "You're useless to me." She's found what makes her the most comfortable, what really works best for her, which is like being a little like silly, a little like laughy and a little jokey, but also like, you know, pretty evil. But I think that, look, they're running with Bailey. She's the longest running SmackDown champ ever already. We're trying to make Bailey matter most. I think when Bailey Sasha wrestle, Sasha should not beat Bailey.
No.
I think Bailey needs to really – I would have her almost squash Sasha. If I was booking it, it wouldn't even be – she wouldn't even hit her with a foreign object, at least to start the match. She could do it like later on. But I would have her squash Sasha, have Sasha take – I would do exactly what they did with Brody Lee and Cody, you know?
Yeah.
Because – Sasha right now, like, if you think about the getting ahead of the story, if Sasha beats Bailey, the story's over. It puts them back in the same spot. Bailey's not the champ. But if Bailey beats her and this whole thing works out for her and you dig deeper into this Sasha chokes gimmick that she has, well, then, like people were saying, she's ripe to come back at the Rumble, win a Rumble, which she's never won a Rumble before, you know, and then actually have her big moment at Mania against Bailey. That kind of long-term storytelling, they've already invested so much time into this. Why blow it? You know what I mean? I think that and even if someone gets hurt or something, Sasha will bounce back. Sasha will bounce back from losing to Bailey. Bailey should, like, I would have her demolish Sasha.
Like John Cena, Brock Lesnar?
I agree. Clash of Champions or whatever they meet. And then take her off TV for a while. Because also just to fix her comeback, because it's been sloppy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she'd go away again and reset.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Because, like, I mean, you want – because obviously – and it's kind of just, like, basic wrestling stuff, right? Like, we want Bayley to be an even more dominant evil person so that when Sasha is able to triumph as like the good guy, it makes it the stakes are way higher. So right. She has to lose now. She has to. It's like,
I see. Evil person? Oh, it fucked up. Right. Sorry. All right. So you're in agreement with me, basically.
Well, yeah.
Cool. Let's talk about Reigns for a second. So Roman Reigns enters on SmackDown. I think he kicked off the show. Even though I think Bayley should have kicked off the show on SmackDown. I was kind of surprised that they went with Reigns, but... you guys know Roman Reigns is always here. They kick it off with this awesome graphic of Reigns, though. It's like a statue of him doing the ooh-ah. Looked cool, I thought.
Yeah. It also, though, is like kind of mirrors his sort of entire personality, right? Like,
right.
Great to look at, but like, I mean, there's not much going on inside, I think.
Right. You love to see him enter. And you'll love to see them fade to commercial. because I thought Reigns cut a shitty promo here. Like,
right.
Lackluster, especially in a week where everybody's firing on all cylinders. It's like, hey, guys, like, Reigns, I said it from the start. I was like, I think he'll be comfortable. He'll find his moment or whatever, but... I'm finding this so far to be as uninteresting as I expected. I didn't want to be the negative Nancy, like the guy coming out being like, this heel turns off. I didn't want to come out and feel that way. But I feel like Reigns will – I feel like he's going to disappoint me in this heel run also. I just think there's an element that he does not have, and I'm not giving him another – he doesn't deserve more years of my life to give him the benefit of the doubt. I've already given him 5 Mania trips. You know what I mean? So,
right.
I think it was kind of lackluster. I think, I'll be honest, I think even Heyman is struggling. I think he's doing a great job cutting good promos, but it feels like Brock Lesnar redux. Like, if I was him, I wouldn't do the raising, defending. I wouldn't do it for Reigns. I like it that, like, this is what he does when he's your advocate. But Reigns needs, like, such a full, fresh revamp that, I don't know, maybe this is just me, but I felt like that was a – he cut Reigns got the mic. His teeth look weird. Not to be an asshole with, Judge's teeth, but there's something about them that, like, I don't care that he got his teeth redone, but they seem to, like, draw the weird. Eye, right?
Yeah. They're forward a little bit.
They're too forward, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a periodontist, but it's it seems a little.
Oh, I thought you were
forward facing. No, I got disbarred.
I didn't know about that. Sorry about that.
Yeah, practicing without a license. Yeah. I mean, Sammy jokes on them. Sammy Guevara. No, the jokes on them. You can't, be fired if you never actually were licensed. To perform it, so.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you're still practicing. You're still taking appointments.
I'm still
right?
practicing.
You're on top.
Well, yeah, that's how you get to Broadway. Right. Yeah. My thing is, though, is like, doesn't it seems like I think Jimmy and Jay also have the same type of fixture, right? Like their upper palate is, yeah, I think they also have same thing.
I've never known. Yeah, I don't know. The only thing I was looking at on Jay was like, I was trying to figure out the size differential between the two, but Reigns looks significantly bigger.
Yeah.
Look, he looks awesome. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that we were talking about the teeth a lot. Now, I don't know. I think he got the best guy in Florida to do his teeth, but he got it done in Florida. And so, is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything in Florida is a little fugazi.
Oh,
so
good for you.
Okay. So anyway, I just thought, look, I just felt like I'm looking for a meaner Reigns. Like, it just feels like, Reigns just feels like so fucking, like, I don't want to use this word because it's, like, it means so much more in this time, but it just is the only word. I'll switch it. I was going to say privilege, but he feels more, like, entitled or something. And not in, like, a heel way. In a way that actually, like, kind of bothers me, where it's like, oh, now he's booked to, like, just show up and win. It's like, they give him every kind of creative decision to make it work, and I'm just kind of burned on it personally, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the argument before, right? Was that, like, that was how people felt about Roman Reigns, face Roman Reigns, but like that's, they were like, oh, he's just booked to win. He did that. He's overpowered. He, you know, eats a match, the acolyte with the chain in his mouth. Like it doesn't affect him.
Now, Rusev with the chain. Right.
But
oh
now,
God, you reminded me. Right.
But now that's what he's doing out loud. And it's like, well, this is still the same. Nothing, I guess, perception wise has changed. It's just now it's out loud. So he's a bad guy.
Right. And so the other part of it is that, like, okay, so cool, he's a heel, so I should be like, oh, I want him to lose. But no, actually, right. I have the opposite thought. I think he should be the champion. Like, it makes total sense. I think he looks great with the title. He should be the champ. I just don't really care. But, like, I get why he's the champ. It's because now you've booked him into this place where he's headlined manias, walked out, beat some of the top guys ever, has beat Cena. He's beat every wrestler imaginable. So now he matters this much. His power level is over 9,000. He's, like, established as a guy that's strong. So I understand why he's booked the way he is, but I want him to lose heat. It's like, yep, that's where he goes. It's like, he's like a legacy now or something. I got to like work around him. You know what I mean? And right now it's like, all right, we give him the title now because he has to matter because he retired Undertaker because he has to matter. But ultimately for me, it's like, he looks good, but I don't know. This is just how I feel. And then also he seems unnatural, this heel role so far, but that I do think he will get better at. But also this booking of like, he shows up and wins, and then it's like, all right, that's what he's going to do. The main event starts. Like, another example where he kind of is able to bend the rules. He could just join. They start the tag match without him even at in-ring. Same thing. It's like, they start the title match before he even gets there, and they don't even acknowledge this loophole that he's hitting. It's the only thing in the show that's not making sense. Everything else is like, they're doing a great job. So
I would have done it slightly differently with the Jimmy. I understand they're building to something. I mean, or I understand that they're saying they're building to something, but I would have had him, because which one is it? Is it it's Jimmy Uso? Is that who he was going against? Or is it Jay. I would have had him do what I just did in the very beginning and like have Jay come up to him and be like, yo, what's up, Jimmy? And like not know the difference between the two of them and like kind of be a dick now that he's like back and like just start sowing that seed now.
He's still like, yo, you're my fam. But then he's like kind of a dick and he's not like just totally a dick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which
just
is like
him be like, yo, what up, Jimmy? And like he's like, I'm Jay, man. He's like, oh, sorry. You know, I don't really know who you are.
So as it pertains to him joining the match, I'll get that formally as a drop. It's Eddie Kingston talking
about. Who I love, by the way. That segment, if we could jump, I know we're just talking about it at WWE, segment, he was in, Eddie Kingston goes into this mode, which is full, like, Queens, son, like, yelling at his, like somebody just, like, the cops just got his brother. He's like, Ma, the cops, they got Dominic, Ma.
Yeah.
They got
like, he has, like, a mantra he goes back to or whatever. Like, he has, like, a center line that he goes back to. So it's just like, you're sloppy, dude. And because you're sloppy, dude. Like, I feel like he was like that. Like, he goes back. I was like, does he know he's on TV? Or is he?
Maybe not. And I think that's what's so great about him. It's just like, look, you're my best friend. Shake his hand. Shake his hand. What are you doing to me? Shake his hand. It was great.
No. Shake his hand.
It's a guy that, like, if you're not from
the
area that we're from, you don't understand that that's like a full genre of person. Like, they're everywhere.
Man. So anyway, so look, we'll see where Reigns goes, him joining the match. I just don't like it doesn't make sense. Like, acknowledge, like, that Heyman is teaching him how to, like, same way Cedric was like, I'm here to, like, not get beat up, so I'm joining the Hurt Business. Like, that's it.
Right.
This ties into a Bray feud. We had a new Funhouse. The show was already good, and then it was like, this fucking Firefly Funhouse was so fucking funny this week. Bray debuted a new character. It was Pasquale, the persevering parrot, who he left in the box without any holes, and it died. And then he threw it to the side. It was like fucking as dark, and it was perfect writing. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then he debuted a new character, which is Wobbly Walrus, and it's a Paul Heyman puppet.
Right.
It was like a fat walrus. It's fucking awesome.
Which I guess, are they going to do like a Fiend Reigns thing at some point?
Yeah, so I feel like they're leading to that. They're probably leading to that, which is cool because Fiend can lose to Bray as long as he makes Reigns even darker, like he's done to Braun. So, like, Braun this week, Braun enters the underground, and you're like, oh, he's still affected by his Bray stuff. Like, he's more angry than normal, and you're like, oh, when you wrestle the Fiend, it changes you. It's not about the title. So I feel like it's making Fiend really matter, like, when he gets his hand on you. So if he's going to lose to Reigns, we'll still care about him because he'll leave a lasting effect on his opponent. It's not like it's very rare in wrestling to wrestle someone and then not just like move on with just being, oh, now I'm on a new feud, you know?
Right. Especially too, it's like if the metric you're using for like a match being won is you pin somebody, then you won the match. If you're using that metric, a win in a match is when you pin that person. But if you're using the metric of like, have you been affected by the wrestler that you were, like, how deeply did they affect you? Then the Fiend has not lost a match.
Right.
He's won all of his matches by that metric.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He calls the title a toy. Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. He calls it a toy. You're right. It's like, he's not worried. That's why he had a match against Braun in the Swamp when it wasn't even for the title when Braun was the champ.
Right.
You know?
Right. Winning to the Fiend is not, I have a belt or I pinned you. Winning to the Fiend is I've affected the course of the rest of your life because of how badly I've disturbed your mental state.
Right. Like Bray might care, but the Fiend is a whole different thing, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I like that. And I just want to point out a bunch of stuff because, like, this week, talking about the specificity and the justifications they add in. Like, Drew gave a backstory for his Claymore kick, which is like, oh, that's kind of cool. The writing, like, it's like, oh, he's cutting this promo. There's actually something in it. MVP is talking about completing a W-9. Like, you have to talk to your tax attorney to join the herd business. There's like a contract involved there. There's extra payment involved, so it was like a business transaction. What was the other one? The Money in the Bank match, they like talked about, oh, they acknowledged like if you steal the contract, it's like it's not transferable. But there are Miz was like, I'll talk to my lawyer. There could be some loopholes. So it's like they're actually like cared. So that's another reason why the Reigns thing bothered me, because I was like, oh, they'll just start that match. That doesn't matter, you know?
Right.
Like, we're dealing with the nuance of like if somebody like Zayn leaves with the IC title, is he still the champion? Where they're hashing that shit out. Like, that's like a fucking seems like a logistical nightmare for them. You know what I mean? I like all this nuance. I think it's really good. You know?
Yeah, it's funny to think about them having to, like, balance the, like, title checkbook, where it's like, we have a title missing, so we can't balance this. Like, you know, like when you're trying to, like, account for funds, it's like, well, we have this errant titles out there somewhere. We have an unbalanced title checkbook.
Right. That is funny when you think about it. You don't want to think about it that far. That's where I draw the line. Right. You can over-justify. Right. You know what I mean? But, like, I don't know. I thought all this was all like you saw this constant of like Adam Pearce throughout it. We also teased this new like mystery woman. There's a new like female superstar coming. I think Jericho spoiled it, but I didn't look. He's spoiling WWE stuff. Like, he's full on like trolling and heckling like WWE. Do we know who it is?
Is it Ava Marie? Again,
I don't know. Do you think it is?
I think that's what I just seen some.
But she's
some
blonde
dirt.
Now.
I think so. Here's the thing: it's a very low chance that it's anybody I care about.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's very low, very low. Because all the women wrestlers that they have, all the like, all the wrestlers that are women in the WWE, I already care about. And in AEW, there's a couple that I care about. And then I know it. So it's like, I can't think of another wrestler that like, is it just Charlotte? Like, I don't know.
No, I don't think it's Charlotte. Cause I think they're trying to go like sexy babe route with her. Like, they've been dying. They tried to give that angle to, what was her name? To Tennille. whatever her name, I forgot what her name was when she was a wrestler, but to her name really. Emma. Yeah, Emma. I thought it was Emma, but I the Taste of Tennille was like her YouTube channel. But they tried to give it to her, then they gave it to Lana, and so I think they're right. trying to give someone like the diva gimmick, you know?
Right.
Which was Scarlett Bordeaux's kind of gimmick, so they're too busy having her play like the fucking Ice Witch or whatever her thing is. But I don't know why, you know, they're putting her with Karrion Kross, so that's where they're going with that. But so I think they're trying to get another. They're like going for like, you know, like the Babe, you know,
right?
So which, by the way, there is room for that always in WWE. Like it's a reflection of like this Instagram culture. Like we do need someone who can wrestle who can also be like, I'm a sex symbol, because it's actual behavior that exists in society, which always works. When WWE is a reflection of society, it works. So it would be cool to see that done well, you know.
Yeah, I want to correct something or adjust something that I said. I think there is a chance that I'll give a shit about who it is, but it's gonna have to be really interesting for me not to just consider it like, okay, like a new wrestler now in the mix right away. Like you know what I mean? Like I could get into it later if it was like a depending on how the debut goes and how good of a wrestler they are, but there's this chance that like that initial pop isn't going to be much for me.
Right. Well, that's we'll what I mean. See. I have no idea. All right, a couple of odds and ends before we go. Montez, amazing outfit on Raw.
Yeah.
The guy does not belong in a tag team. No knock on the Street Profits. I like them. They seem to be unifying these tag titles, which is a smart move. They're headed towards that, which is smart. So I'm excited because they need one pair of tag titles, and they should float between the shows, especially now, so we care about it. But Montez is a solo star. He looks like a fucking Billy Bucks. I know that Angelo's lost a lot of weight. He looks a lot better, so good for him. But I just think the Street Profits thing is not clicking for whatever reason on Raw. It's not their fault. It's tag wrestling at WWE. Just doesn't matter at all. But Montez, should right now be a solo star. I'd put him in the IC picture, like, right away. You know? The guy he looks awesome. And speaking of IC picture, IC picture is the most exciting it's been in a fucking long time. And Jeff Hardy, who just signed a new big contract, his tattoos on his back are, like, fully filled in. Looks awesome. His face paint was USA face paint was so fucking cool on SmackDown, I thought. I love Jeff Hardy. I'm excited that I'm happy he's not going to AEW. He belongs in WWE. I like him there.
Yeah. I mean, if in AEW, what would he be? He would just be like his brother. Like he would just be this weird artifact that like they used to throw chairs at.
Yeah. I think we've passed the moment where like the two of them together, we saw it, whatever. You know, I'm happy Jeff Hardy signed a new big contract. And cool. Last thing is Seth Rollins turns on Murphy. And let me tell you, Seth Rollins, fucking Christ, man. This guy is killing it in this role as the Messiah thing. Like, he's just having killer matches. He's yelling in Murphy's face. He should never be a babyface again. He's clicks into it perfectly. I think he's the wrestler who's hurt the most from the quarantine. I think what he'd be doing be working. It is working. He's getting Dominic over. I just want to give props to Seth Rollins, who, when he's not at the top of the card, he's still fucking killing it. I know he gets great booking also, but he deserves it. He's awesome. I'm loving Seth Rollins. Yeah. I want to see a Seth Rollins-Keith Lee feud is what I would like to see.
I mean, I think that speaks too to like Keith Lee's how excited. Oh, wait a minute. Before we sign off, Rhea, and this is maybe off topic, you can save this for your pod for Tulo, but we can maybe seed the conversation here.
So. Absolutely.
Rhea Ripley.
Yeah. Oh, you saw my post.
Yeah, I did. Let's talk about this for a second.
So cool. Rhea Ripley, this is the last thing we'll say. I got to sign off in a sec, but Rhea Ripley, I'll say this, and we will get into this more on the Patreon episode. We'll talk about all NXT, AEW. For a couple bucks a month, you get me talking to Tulo. Totally different fun vibe where we make sure we give you the full vibe on NXT, AEW. But Rhea Ripley, look, I think – she looks fucking like a mill right now. She looks awesome. Her match with Mercedes Martinez was the match that I was looking for. I was looking for her to have a match where she looks like an absolute killer. She hasn't been on the mic doing lackluster, boring promos like she was in the whole lead up to Charlotte, where it was like, it wasn't at all menacing or scary. It was like, here's my dream to wrestle at Mania, you know, and I was worried that she was going to beat Charlotte just to put her over, which was a mistake. But her losing and losing in a match that felt kind of inconsequential because Mania wasn't Mania, it showed you she's a big deal. It worked out amazingly for her. And then she's got the comeback rebuild, but she still matters more from getting that rub of being in that match that kind of didn't matter. And then we have like, oh, we have like that unfinished business where she can wrestle Charlotte, you know, and it'll be like, here's the actual match. But I just thought she looked really strong, and it's just a vibe. I just feel like she's starting to click more for me. I think her look is kind of like, I don't know, something. Her look now with the bleach blonde hair, it really worked. And I just thought that was like the brutality I was looking for was in that match.
Right.
Now, I do think pendle slam is not a good move. It worked there because it's through a table. But any kind of impact that's mid-level height is not going to work for me, especially when she's that big. I would give her like a razor's edge or something, kill her, you know? But I do think she is working. She still needs a killer promo and a killer feud, but I think she's close. I think she's close to getting it. And this role of her away from the title picture, it's helping her, for me, matter more. I think she's got to be seconds away from just being on the main roster full time, right?
Yeah, yeah. Would you say that she's was she on deck to become one of your guys? Is she in developmental?
It's hard to say because, again, I would say
– the status?
I would say she's destined to be a star. We all know that in this company.
Right.
I told you, I stood next to her backstage at Raw and was like – she was massive. Like we were actually like shoulder to shoulder. And I was like, I could not believe her back was so wide. So look, she's huge. There's not a lot of women built like this, especially when you have Charlotte. You need women who could stand next to Charlotte. And if Ronda comes back and Shayna or whatever, you know. So I do think that she'll get to the place there. But I'm not willing to put her on there yet until I see – what I'm looking for specifically at Rhea is a killer promo. I'm looking for a killer promo and a feud that I'm fully vested in. But she's on track – totally on track for me, I would say.
Got it. All right. Fair enough.
How do you feel? All right. Let's end it there, Newman. I feel like we covered it all. We were pretty efficient with our time. And we had a great Raw and SmackDown this week. I hope you enjoyed it. One last thing. I'm loving Ricochet in the booty shorts. I think it makes him look bigger, actually, weirdly. So, Ricochet, keep those booty shorts. I think you got to stay the course. They've set up a lot of structural components here that are not making the show where you feel more vested in it. It's not just, oh, here's Corbin's music. Someone's going to wrestle Corbin. He's not happy with what's being said. They've broken out of monotony. And Retribution, they broke away from the unsatisfying reveal by doing a pre-reveal reveal. So it's not a reveal. Right. It's not a big reveal. We know who they are. The question is just, will we care about the wrestlers behind the masks? That's what we'll see. So I don't know. I'm digging it. But we'll talk more about AEW NXT and probably more of this stuff, because can I keep too long on task on these bonus apps? Absolutely not. So everybody, make sure hit the Patreon, patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Give this podcast 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Tell us a wrestler that is one of your guys in the comments, and I will read it on here. Next week, I'll read the new reviews of wrestlers that are one of your guys. And check out Dan Black Attack Podcast if you want to hear us talk about the news. And, hey, this podcast, always, word of mouth is the best. Tell one friend about the podcast right now. Do it. Okay? Hey, everybody. Whew. Wrestling's back, baby. Exciting times. Everybody, hit up the Raw Underground. Get your fights in. And everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Comedians of wrestling. I listen up.
Wednesday.
When I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.